Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are you doing this week?
Well, we're doing great. It's a little bit better week than last. We saw that 11-degree temperature last week, and believe me, when I see anything below 40, I start longing for summer. So I'm ready for it to get warm, but we're doing well.
Steve, this week, one of the things we wanted to talk about is this ALEC report. Tell us what that is.
Sure. ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council. It was a group I became familiar with way back in the 90s when I served in the state legislature. And every year they rank the states and the governors, and then they have an economic freedom analysis that they also run. These are very analytical measures of the different states, the different governors. And as you would expect, New Mexico's governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, ranked dead last. She ranked 50th out of all the governors. They based their scores on three different measures. The first, executive policies. Second, economic performance. And third, fiscal policies. And in each one of those, we ranked 49th in executive policies, only Rhode Island below us. We ranked 46th. In economic performance, Louisiana ranked 50th, Alaska 49th, Illinois 48th, and West Virginia 47th. So we came in at 46th in that measure. And then in fiscal policy, we ranked 48th. Rhode Island and Oregon, the only two states below us. Now, for those people who think, well, it's just a conservative group, then they try to rank it to where conservatives finish well. Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, a very left-leaning Democrat, actually was ranked fourth among all the governors of the nation. He's done things that are pragmatic and make sense. I knew him in Congress. We didn't agree on a whole lot, but we visited back and forth. But he's actually having to do things that make economic sense and make sense from a policy perspective. Now, each one of those three categories has, again, three or four different things that are measured in those. It's not just kind of put your finger to your tongue and then hold it up in the wind and see which way the wind is blowing. On the executive policy front, the top thing that's measured is welfare dependency. Obviously, the more people you have on welfare, the less that you have as far as jobs and the less economic performance you're going to have. And New Mexico ranks 49th on welfare dependency. Education freedom is a big measure. We rank 49th in education freedom. And then union control of the state. We ranked very low on that. 39th, because we know the strength of the unions in New Mexico. So that's the executive policy performance measures. But under economic performance measures, that breaks down into four different categories. The interstate migration, we're 23rd in that. Education quality, actually, the Laffer Report ranked us a little better than most other studies. They put us at 41st. The GSP growth, the growth of the economy, we're at 37th. And unemployment rate, we're at absolute 50th. And that, as we all know. Then on the fiscal policy ranking, the debt is, of course, one of the key measures. We're 40th in that. Corporate income tax, we're 24th in that. The personal income tax, we're 42nd in. Spending per capita, we're 42nd. And then federal unemployment benefits, we're at a ranking of 49th on federal unemployment benefits. But this report comes out annually, and hopefully we'll start trending the other direction. Hopefully we replace Michelle Lujan Grisham with a Republican governor, and I think that's going to happen, and we can see New Mexico starting to move up in the rankings. But Dr. Laffer's report, again, he's well known in economic circles. We actually had the opportunity to visit with him and have significant briefings from him when I was in Congress, and so to see this study come out is one that I felt like is very important. Now, curiously enough, when you look at different measures of that, and people will say, well, that's just some think tank and they're a conservative think tank, that's really not the case. Those states are not that bad. Well, people will show us with their feet what the truth is. In other words, the number of people who are fleeing out of Venezuela and Cuba would lead you to believe that things are not very good in Venezuela and Cuba. Well, U-Haul Traeger, U-Haul Rentals, put out a report this last week showing that Californians are leaving the state so fast that they ran out of trucks. In other words, U-Haul depends on you doing round trips. If you're going to move your aunt over from California to, say, to Arizona, you'll drive the truck out there, drop off the things for your aunt, and then drive the truck back. But when it's one-way trips, then all those trucks end up stacked up in other states. So U-Haul was reporting that California and Illinois are both losing population so fast that they can't keep trucks in either state. Those trucks are ending up in, you can guess it, in Texas, Florida, and Tennessee. And so when this happens, you know that it's not just an economic report that is trumped up by some group. It is actually people are trying to flee and find a better way to raise their family. So Texas is growing extremely fast. And you start looking at it, well, there's a strong job market. People are in California saying, I need to get away from the crime. I need to get away from the filthy streets. The homeless are just defecating in the streets. I need to get out of that. Used drug needles are laying around, and my kids might step on one and then get sick. So people look where they can go. Well, obviously, they want to get a job where they go. So the strong job performance is key to drawing people to Texas, but then also the low cost of living. Lower rent prices, lower food prices. Everything is cheaper in Texas because California is punishing the businesses, and it just costs more when you get punished. But then Texas also has the added benefit of no income tax. And so to take a look at that, the states that are losing population, California and Illinois, if New Mexico ranks 50th, which we do, then Rhode Island ranks 49th. You wouldn't be able to hardly to tell if Rhode Island's losing people or not. They're like New Mexico. The population wouldn't be statistically important. But California is 48th in their bleeding population. Illinois is 47th, their bleeding population. New York is 46th in their bleeding population. And so people are voting with their feet that they want more freedom. They want more economic opportunities. They want their kids to go to good schools. They don't want the unions in control of the schools because the unions are right now insisting that the teachers not go back to work. So already over 4,000 schools across the nation have been shut down because the unions are saying we don't feel safe and we're not going back until there's not one COVID case in our entire town. And so we're going back through the same thing. These mask mandates, the vaccine requirements, the lockdowns are driving people out. They're looking for freedom. They're looking for the kids to be able to live normal lives. And so that's the reason for this migration that is showing up in the U-Haul reports, but also is being verified in something like the ALEC report that shows New Mexico dead last. Our governor measures dead last among all the 50 governors. So again, just an important piece of our current political situation. Stay tuned for the next two segments. We're going to talk about a whistleblower who claims the same thing, that he's being targeted by the Grisham administration. And we'll be talking about the leader of North Korea, claims that his father invented the burrito.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. And Steve, you mentioned a whistleblower, and this comes from the spaceport. Tell us what happened.
Sure. Zach DiGriego, he's the former CFO of the Spaceport America. Of course, that's down a little bit south of Truth or Consequences. When I was in Congress, we actually cut the ribbon for the spaceport. Richard Branson from Virgin Air was there. He scaled down the side of that new building with a team of people and a publicity stunt. It was actually quite impressive, but they scaled down like you would scale down the mountain with these lanyards, and he's barefoot coming down that big glass wall. I'm sitting beside his mom, and we're talking. It was just fascinating. But when we finished the day, the spaceport was open. Well, now fast forward to December of 2015, Zach DiGriego gets put in as CEO of that. And I knew a lot of the people involved in it. And it had great economic potential for New Mexico. But again, the corruption in New Mexico is driving people away. So Zach is trying to point out the things he's being asked to do by Governor Grisham. And he said that when I had to choose between breaking the law and having a job job. He said, I had to quit my job. Well, now then he's filed suit in the first judicial district, and he claims that Governor Grisham has been guilty of fraud for over $200 million. He's also included Attorney General Hector Balderas in that suit, State Auditor Brian Colon, Economic Development Secretary Alicia Keys, and then all of the current leadership in the spaceport, because if you're going to try to do things and move money around, you got to have leaders in that group who will allow you to do it and not say anything.
I've never spoken about this publicly until now. But the continued retaliation from New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and her staff has forced me to make this statement to set the record straight. Many of you know, I was the former chief financial officer of Spaceport America in New Mexico. I left that position after making multiple whistleblower complaints. I was forced to resign when I had to choose between keeping my job and committing crimes. After the governor and her staff got rid of me, they have done everything in their power to retaliate against me and destroy my life to keep me silent. At the same time, they proceeded to violate multiple federal laws. Today, I have filed a lawsuit against the state of New Mexico for violations of the New Mexico Whistleblower Protection Act and malfeasance by the state auditor. The complaint provides evidence of extortion, bribery, illegal drug use, sex discrimination, procurement fraud, securities fraud, and multiple violations of federal law. The complaint describes how after I left, the defendants proceeded to commit over $200 million in fraud when they issued bonds under false pretenses with disclosure documents containing fraudulent information. Now I realize that I'm just one person going up against the most rich and powerful people in the state of New Mexico. And I realize that these people have virtually unlimited taxpayer dollars that they will continue to use to attack me. But here's what I believe. I believe that one person can make a difference in this world, and I believe it's important to stand up for what is right. I'm Zach DeGregorio, certified public accountant, and you, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, you are a crook.
So I'm not sure if what Zach DeGriego is saying is correct. That's up to the courts. But I do know that as a whistleblower, he's got certain protections, and the Democrats are all about protecting whistleblowers when they're blowing the whistle on Trump or Pence or somebody. But when it's blowing the whistle on themselves, they just believe that whistleblowers shouldn't even be allowed to exist. And that's what Zach DeGriego is saying, that they've tried to just tarnish his career, to ruin his career, to tarnish his reputation. And so I think that the people should know that the Democrats, again, are being accused of great fraud. And that's one of the hallmarks of politics, that when a political party stays in power too long, then corruption results. And when corruption results, then tyranny happens. And when tyranny happens, people lose hope and they end up leaving those states. So stay tuned. I think there's a lot to be heard from this lawsuit, $200 million claim against the governor of New Mexico, Michelle Lujan Grisham.
You reminded us that besides being our congressman, you were in the state legislature in the 90s. Was it as partisan then as it is now?
No, it was not. The progressives have systematically gotten rid of all of the conservative Democrats across the nation, but they've done it not only nationally in the U.S. Congress, but they've also done it in the state legislatures across the country. But then as far as city councilors and county commissioners, a lot of Hispanic conservatives are now complaining that as Democrats, they used to be in office. And then the white progressives came in and ran against them and ran them out of their own party. And they now have no voice. They're not ready to become Republicans, and I can understand that. But they have no place in the Democrat Party, and so conservative Hispanic voters across the country are now leaning very Republican because of this lack of representation inside of the party that they considered to be the party of their forebears, their aunts and the uncles and the grandparents. Well, that party has left them the same as it left my folks. Most of my life, my folks were Democrats. When I went to Vietnam, they were still Democrats. When I came home, they were still Democrats. Somewhere in the Clinton years, though, they said, this is not the party that we used to be members of, and they both changed to Republicans.
So I imagine you were able to get a lot more done since the two parties worked together more than they do now.
It was not absolutely 50th in everything, and you could reason with people and say, look, this is how things work in the oil and gas industry, or this is how things work out in business, and you could have a reasonable discussion. Those discussions basically don't happen now. You can look at Nancy Pelosi and realize that she doesn't much care how things really work. She cares how she can get more power.
Referring for a moment back to the Alec report there, the Democrat Party sent out a press release talking about our Republican candidates for governor and their plans for education, saying that GOP candidates for governor would be a disaster for educators, a headache for parents, and a threat to New Mexican students' success. Well, how much success are they having now?
Yeah, we're absolutely 50th by all measures in the education right now. So how much worse we can get? What they really mean, and you have to start understanding what people mean when they say stuff, is that we would not be good for the union operations when Republicans take control. Unions wouldn't have as much power. You remember that the Judicial Department, in that testimony to Congress, they quoted that Association of School Boards or union officials. Well, it turns out that it was their entire position of the Biden administration was written by the unions. And that's what they want. They want this union control of education, and that's what Democrats give them. For Republicans, the Republicans would not give the unions that kind of power. So obviously, the Democrat Party, a mouthpiece for the unions, is going to speak up and say that all Republicans are bad for education. You can't get any worse than 50th.
Yeah. And to that, again, we talked about this briefly in the first segment as well, about people leaving the state. But they're also leaving the workforce. Let's talk about why that's happening.
First of all, it's important to look at the effect of having workers walk out of the workforce, either voluntarily or being forced out. And that's what we're facing right now. We have talked about on this show, I think it was back in August, that the largest single month with people voluntarily leaving their jobs, almost 4 million people just walked off and said, I'm just going to live at home on unemployment benefits. Well, unemployment benefits were never meant to be a way of life. They were to be a bridge. When you lost a job, then you could get something to keep you paying the rent till you got another job. Now then people are saying, well, I'll just take that permanently. And that's what the Democrats are trying to get done. Well, what happens is then people are not available to do services. You're seeing empty store shelves and people are saying it's all due to COVID. A lot is due to people who voluntarily or involuntarily left the workforce, and people are just not there to do the jobs. In St. Louis, just last week, a man called 911. His brother was having some sort of a heart attack or something, calls 911. The ambulance didn't show up for 10 hours. Of course, he was beside himself. His brother was fighting for his life, fighting to take a breath. And so he is pretty exercised when he calls to complain. And they said, look, we just didn't have people and ambulances. It was that simple. So when you have that sort of effect with people leaving the workforce, you have chaos that starts developing, and that's what we're beginning to see. Societies descend into this situation where things can't be solved. You don't have food on the shelves because you don't have workers to drive the trucks. You don't have access to health care because you don't have enough physicians. And physicians have been driven out of the workplace by the regulations on vaccines and the mandatory requirement to have the shots and the boosters and then the second booster. And people are just saying, no, I'm going to exercise my freedom. And then President Joe Biden says, you got to fire them. So you have those people who are being forced out of their jobs. And so we don't have people to perform essential functions. And society is moving towards utter chaos. That's what we're seeing in this report from the 911 call, when people are trying to find access to health care, when they're trying to find just the staples in life, groceries. And when people are not there to stock the shelves or to drive the trucks, then you just have what's happening in the country right now. So regulations always is a way that states and nations push themselves to failure. And we're fast approaching failure in many, many regards in America.
I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce, and there is more coming up in the next segment. I hope you'll stay with us on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I am back with Steve Pierce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. Did you happen to see the new voting plan that our governor is pushing where you can vote 3 days after the election in New Mexico?
Yes, absolutely. And 16 years old will be allowed to vote 3 days after the election. This is so they can go out and harvest the votes. We saw that in California about 3 years ago. The Secretary of State of California rang up all of the results in the U.S. Congressional races, and seven Republicans had won seats there, more than that one, but these seven became a focal point. So for a week, the law in California allowed for a week for harvesting of ballots. The Democrat Party could go out and reach people and say, oh, you didn't get a ballot in. If you'll hand it to us, we'll turn it in for you. Oh, by the way, sign down here and we'll fill it out for you. And people dutifully signed and gave a blank ballot over. Well, you might imagine that they were able to get up to 2,000 votes in all of these seven districts, overturned every single one of the elections. So vote harvesting is the process of going out and getting ballots after the election. When you see what the results are, now you know how much you need to cheat by, and so the Democrats obviously like that. New Mexico faced that in this last election, not the one in November, but the last general election when the state representatives were running in 2020 down in Chaparral, southern Otero County and southern Doniana County. A good friend of mine has won as a state representative down there, and then he loses a very, very close district, about the same number of Republicans and Democrats. Anyway, he won by 12 votes and was headed back to the state legislature. The day after the election, the Otero County clerk accepted 50 ballots that were brought in. She said, well, I know they meant to get them in and they were good hearted. And she gave a lot of reasons. But at the end of the day, all 50 ballots were for the Democrat. And so after the election, in an illegal move, the Otero County clerk accepted these ballots. And then when our Republican representative, who was elected legitimately on election day, lost because of these ballots that were brought in after the election. And that's what Michelle Lujan Grisham wants to be the case everywhere. I will tell you that as a business guy, if we're going to make it to where you can do whatever you want to, you can bring votes in wherever you want to, that in the end, the businesses will do better than the unions. We will go out and we'll work harder. There'll be stimulus. People will be paid rewards for delivering. And I will just tell you that the Democrats would be very careful. Myself, I think that we should have free and fair elections, that whoever is elected freely and fairly, fine. We live with them and we live with the problems. But if you're going to start rigging the scales, then beware, because both parties, it will become a contest to go out to those houses which don't vote and see who can pay the most to get those ballots in hand. So again, very destructive things that our state legislature and our governor are thinking about in our balloting and in the voting.
We were for many years fans of Chick-fil-A, but they seem to have changed the direction of how they do business. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, well, seeing online just recently that Christians are organizing protests against Chick-fil-A, I was curious about that because Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, a strong Christian, his values always aligned with the Christian community. And in fact, it was Christians who supported him when the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, was going to shut them down. And Christians started showing up in the streets and there they had their best months ever. But now then, Truett Cathy has passed on and his son, Dan Cathy, is coming in and changing the entire culture. He is funding things that his father would never have approved of, things on the left. He's funding things that are not very conservative, and they're certainly not very Christian. But as he started implementing the mask mandates and the vaccination mandates, a lot of Christians are saying they don't want the vaccination, and they're the ones working at Chick-fil-A. So Christians now are organizing protests against Chick-fil-A. You should be very careful when you change your values, when the customers depend on you to be a certain way and you start start doing something else, the customer ends up driving. And I think that Mr. Dan Cathy, sitting up in his ivory tower, may realize that he might not be as far removed as he thinks he is. But then on the closing note, one that's sort of funny is that this week, Kim Jong-il came out and declared that in North Korea that his father, Kim Jong-un, is the one who actually invented the burrito. He had previously been credited with inventing the hamburger. So now then they're simply trying to take a piece of the Mexican culture and the New Mexican culture. And I suspect when they start trying to charge us all for some sort of a excise fee or some sort of a patent fee for the burrito, they're going to find out that the population of the world doesn't hardly believe it. Maybe they're able to convince the people in North Korea who have no access to the internet, no access to information except what they're fed by the government. The rest of the world is going to be laughing about the inventing of the burrito by Kim Jong-un from North Korea.
Yes, more fake news from North Korea. If you've been listening to our program today and agree with the topics we've been talking about and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, don't believe all the stereotypes you hear. Get the real information for yourself. You can do that several ways. Check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to talk to someone in person, maybe volunteer your time, you can call 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.